This morning's reading from God's Word is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 21. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1785. A reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I do not need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. May God bless the reading of his word. This week we're starting a new series titled Life with One Another, and our text this morning will be found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 24 through 31. I personally believe that if we are going to move forward as a church family, as a church body, we must become more and more united. That's the reason for my change in the sharing of our hearts, our joys, and testimonies. We need to be united in God's will. We need to be united one with another. We need to be united in prayer. We need to be united in a common mission. We need to be united one with another. We need to be connected. It has to go deeper than just a Sunday morning connection. It has to be a deeper connected reality. And so all through the scripture and over the next several weeks, we can see these verses that say we should do this, love one another, serve one another, be hospitable to one another. And so over the next several weeks, I want to just unpack these things. Like, what does life with one another look like? What should it look like to be in the body of Christ? What is my role? What is your role? And Lord willing, over the next several weeks, we are going to unpack these verses. Friends, life is active and it is not passive, and we must pursue these verses. We must pursue this, for this is the way that God wants things to be. He doesn't want us to be all disjointed and disconnected. He wants us to be united. In fact, in John 17, the prayer of Jesus, he's prayed this. He says, "Father, I pray that they would be one, as you and I are one." That's Jesus praying for you and for me, that you and I would be united. We would be one. We would be connected as one. And connectivity, friends, it doesn't look like me doing my own thing and going about my own business. It means that I bear your burdens, you bear my burdens. When I'm excited and joyful, you are excited and joyful. When I'm down, you are down, and vice versa. We walk through life together. And so, as we unpack these verses over the next several weeks, my hope is this, that we'll begin to glean and to gain a better understanding of what it means to be united one with the other, one with each other, one with another in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a German proverb, and it goes like this, and it says, "Blood is thicker than water." And it's also common in English-speaking countries, and what it generally means is that the bonds of family and common ancestry are stronger than those bonds between unrelated people. You see, the bonds between family members and the bonds between our ancestors, they tend to be stronger than the bonds from friends or the bonds from a job or vocation or other similar interests that people share. And they are never the same as what those are forged from our family. And sadly, sometimes those bonds are not healthy. I want us to think of this proverb as we prepare to meet around the Lord's table this morning. What does it mean to you and to me that blood is thicker than water? And I'll just share with you that as we prepare for communion, the juice represents the blood of Christ. You see, friends, this is a sense of unity, of community. It's a sense of when we approach the Lord's table, we are saying, in essence, through our actions, that we are uniting as one body. And Christ is the foundation. Jesus is the core. Jesus is what brings us together. For we all have been united in Christ by the blood of the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. We have been united by Christ's blood, and there should be a picture for the watching world, for the village of Gibsonburg. They should see a picture of you and I unified together in one common mission, one common goal, one common direction. We can't be scattered. We can't be disjointed. We must move in the same direction. And this picture for the watching world, it should be a picture that shows the unity, the love, the peace, the joy within the body for family of God, the church, you and me. Unity is defined as the state of being one, and we must be one with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've all been given all we need to be united. We're told in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God?" And then Paul, the apostle, he begins and he says, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price." You see, you and I, we were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus. We do not own our own lives. We are not our own. Jesus owns us. We have become part of the family of God. We have become part of the church. Jesus did buy us for a price. He purchased us from sin and death. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, we are told that we were ransomed. We were redeemed and liberated and set free from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You see, there it is again. It's the blood of Jesus that unites us. You and I, we were all ransomed and redeemed. We were liberated and set free. A ransom, friends, it indicates that you and I, at one point in our lives, we were being held captive. We were held hostage, and we had been kidnapped, in fact. And that's exactly the reality of it. When we begin to think about those people, as Clarence was saying, those people not here yet, and we begin to think of those people in those terms of being held captive as a hostage, kidnapped, we can begin to have a deeper sense, a heart that is broken for them. A heart that would look like we want them to be part of the body of Christ, the family of God, to be adopted as being sons and daughters of the Lord. If we don't get there, friends, we're going to collapse. We will become all about ourselves, and we must allow ourselves to know that the blood of Christ, it unites, it has purchased us from sin and death, and the price of that ransom to purchase us from being kidnapped and to free us. Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And the price of that ransom was the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul in Colossians tells us this. He says that Jesus has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and he has transferred you and I to the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. As a result of this deliverance from all of us, from the kingdom of darkness, we all have a common base, and it's all found in the blood of Christ, the body that was broken for you and for me, from which we can relate one to another. And I'll say that again. The blood of Christ that liberates you, that has liberated you, that liberates me, that has liberated me, that is the common denominator that we will unite and surround the Lord's table. in a few moments, and it should unite us in that common goal, that common focus, that common purpose. It is Christ and Christ crucified. And friends, Jesus didn't just call us from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of his own kingdom to just sit. He called us from darkness, and he called us to something else. And I'm going to share that last statement again. Jesus calls us from sin and darkness, and he, meaning Jesus, he calls us to his kingdom for his service. We're not called to sit. We're not called to just do aimless things wandering around. We are called to unite, to gather one to another, to gather together in unity of purpose, in unity of mission, in unity of focus, in unity of goal, of serving and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is why we're called. That, my friends, is what we must be about. We must have the heart that is broken over the lost, for that breaks our Father God's heart. We must have the heart that rejoices over a sinner who repents, because that gives joy to our Lord's heart. We must have our hearts that are grieved when we see someone do things they ought not do. We must have the heart that is hopeful for the sinner that is coming back to the living God. Friends, that's what we're about. We have to be about that. For if we're not, then we are just all about ourselves, and we are all about what we want, and we are nothing about the blood of Christ. It's unity. We've been called to come together. We've been called to serve Jesus. We've been called to be a part of the body of Christ. I'm going to read our text this morning, and I'm going to just summarize what is on my heart here. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 24 through 31, beginning in verse 24. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you, my friends, are the body of Christ, and you are each a part of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers and helpers, administrators, and speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The first thing that we can see from this text is that God desires unity. In verses 24 and 25, we're told that God has so composed the body that there may be no discord in it. That's his purpose for the church, to be united one to the other, to be connected one another in love. The focus all through this passage is upon what God has done and what God wants and what God's will is. The focus is all upon the Lord and not upon the reader. And friends, our focus must be squarely upon the Lord if you and I are ever going to be truly united. I have a friend back in Northeast Ohio, and periodically, in fact, he just called me not too long ago. I hadn't talked to him for 2 years since I've been out here, to be honest with you. He's like the brother that I never had, brother from another mother, if you want to say it that way. You know, however, we picked up just like we never, ever missed a beat. It's that unity of the Holy Spirit. He's a believer in Christ. It's that connection that goes deeper than what any superficial connection in this world will ever have. Because deep calls to deep. The Spirit of God calls to the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God connects with the Spirit of God in another believer, there's a unity that will never, ever, ever be anything matched in this world. Some of you are smiling. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you have experienced that very thing. That's the unity the oneness that God desires, so much so that before Jesus was crucified, he's praying for you and for me to be one, one with another, one with each other, one in unity, one in focus, one in goal, one in common purpose. God's desire for unity is shown in Jesus' prayer. And I want to leave us here as we prepare to meet around the Lord's table. There are many things that can seek to distract. Things of the gifts that God gifts each and every one of us with. We can begin to clamor, I can't do nothing. I don't have what he or she has. I don't have this or that. But friends, the higher way, if you open your Bible, and I challenge you this next week, to look at verse 31 and then to read chapter 13. Because chapter 13 contains the more excellent way. And if you know as much as I know about 13, the chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, it's called the chapter of love. We're going to meet around the Lord's table. The more excellent way, friends, is love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, it's long-suffering, it does not boast, it does not rejoice in wrong, but it gives place to the right, and I could go on. That's the more excellent way. Next week we're going to look at the passage where Jesus said, and this is my new command that I give you, to love one another. Friends, it was love that led Jesus to the cross. It was love that led him to lay down his life for you and for me. And if we are ever going to be united, if we are going to experience the depth of unity that God wills for you and for me, we must start with loving one another. And we must start with loving Jesus for what he has done, but loving him even if he hadn't done that for us. And we must understand that love is the greater thing. It's not about teaching or prophecy or healing. It's love because God is love. And so I invite everyone to come to the table of love, the table of Christ, the Lord's table, the communion table, to partake in the elements, the bread and the cup, and to be soaked in the love of God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your desire to be, have us be one, to be unified, one with another, and that unity is only found in you, Jesus. So, Father, we pray that we would recognize that it has to start at the foot of the cross. It has to start at the love that you shed into our hearts, Jesus. It has to start with our love for you, O God. And as we prepare to meet around your table, Jesus, we thank you for the bread and we thank you for the cup and we thank you for laying down your life. We pray that you would bless the elements, bless the bread, bless the cup. And as we partake, may we just be soaked in your love, the love that just abounds more and more. And Father, may you begin to knit us together as one. As one body, as one family, as one body of you, Jesus, your hands and feet in this world. And may we truly begin to yearn to see things the way you see them, but may we begin next week with love. We thank you for your love, Jesus, the love that allowed you to lay down your life for us. We praise you and honor you this day. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.